Hello, Fight Insight fans, viewers, and listeners. I'm the Filipino podcasting machine, Princey D, and with me, as always, the man formerly known as Timbo Slice Timmy B. Before we start, please take a moment to follow and subscribe to us on YouTube or wherever you get your pods and leave 5-star reviews. If you'd like to support the show, check out middaysquares.com and use code FIGHTINSIGHT15 to save 15% on your first order. On today's episode, we speak to a YouTube sensation and Street Beefs legend, discuss Jake Paul, women's rights, and a whole lot more. Tim, hit it!
Yeah, it's Timmy B, Princey D, Fight Insight. Yeah, that's right.
Our guest today is infamous for his fights under the Street Beefs organization that millions around the world are watching on YouTube. He's the guy that's whooping ass while wearing black pants, a white dress shirt, and very stylish suspenders. He's here to explain who he is, how he got involved with Street Beefs, and to promote his upcoming first professional MMA fight on January 29th with Fight Night Challenge in Reuther Glen, Virginia. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the podcast,
Fair Play!
How you doing, Fair Play?
Good, gentlemen. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, man, you are a freaking legend of the internet, of the fighting world. Fair Play, who are you?
That's an easy question to ask, but one that has a long answer. I'll tell you the truth, I still don't know who I am, honestly. I'm still trying to figure myself out, but so far in history, I've been a fighter, soldier, and police officer for most of the time I've been, so.
Oh, wait, are you in the Army now, or are you a police officer now?
Yes, I'm still in both.
Oh, that is crazy. All right.
And I gotta say this too, you are by far the nicest guy in Street Beef Circuit, like the nicest guy, like Timmy, some of the... I saw there was one match where you had somebody in the Kimura. As soon as a person tapped, you went and checked on his arm. Like you put a nice little tap on it. I was like, oh my gosh, like look at this guy. So amazing, amazing, nice gentleman, man.
I appreciate it. Well, at the same time, I mean, we're both there to entertain the fans. I mean, I don't want anyone getting seriously hurt. I mean, I'd hope they have the same common courtesy for me, you know?
But that's the thing, Fair Play. Like, when you watch Street Beefs, okay, and so I don't know anybody that doesn't know Street Beefs, but if you're listening or watching this and you haven't, go check out Street Beefs on YouTube and just search Street Beefs Fair Play and you'll get a million fights. But Fair Play, everybody in that organization seems very respectful. Like, I'm going to just show a photo, like, so people that know, but I mean, like, this is the classic photo, right? That's generally where you see Street Beefs taking place. It looks like it's in the middle of nowhere with like a cage around. Sometimes there's like pool noodles that look like it's creating the ring. Like, I don't know what's going on, but the fighters go in there. They look tough as hell. They look like, you know, real dudes, but they are all extremely respectful, like martial artists. What is the vibe of Street Beefs? Like,
Street Beefs' main goal is to stop gun violence, or actually gang violence, all types of violence all around. Wow. They do it by settling it. Like, Scarface started off just, hey, like, if y'all have a problem, y'all can come to my backyard and duke it out. And then, y'all know, you shake hands after that and y'all maybe become friends. But, it got really popular after that. Like, the main goal is for Street Beefs is to get rid of beefs, you know? But now you got guys from different gyms and different schools competing against each other. And now, like, I came in an era where there's some pretty skilled guys now. It's not just some guy off the street that was like, oh, give me some gloves, I'll knock someone out, you know?
But that's so it's a fighting promotion now then.
Yes, it's basically there. Yeah.
It's real. Fair Play. We had Chris Barnett on, UFC, you know, superstar. And he was saying, he's like, there are some guys on Street Beefs. These are real legit fighters. Like, I don't know what's going on. He's like, but they are legit fighters. And when he said that, the first person that came to my mind is Fair Play. I'm like, no, it's the guy with the suspenders, right? Like, that's the guy. Like, he is legit. Your skill is crazy. Can you tell us, like, what is your martial arts upbringing or your boxing upbringing? Because you seem like you have a lot of legit skill.
I've been I haven't been really a seasoned amateur because I really didn't compete in a lot of sanctioned fights. I had a couple good amateur sanctions, but overall, I just trained. It was just a lot of training over probably 8 or 9 years of my life. But I started off learning karate. And
Okay.
then I've been doing karate for a while. Got my green belt. And before my school shut down, because of the pandemic. But in between that, I studied boxing too, because I didn't want to just limit myself to one martial art. I studied boxing and probably Brazilian jiu-jitsu around the same time. And it can't be universal. I did a couple of MMA fights. Then after that, I did a couple boxing tournaments and seasoned myself for a while. But the difference between me and a lot of experienced guys now is they got the wear and tear in the body, but and mentally they're not there because of all the damage. I'm not physically skilled like a lot of pro guys or a lot of seasoned veterans, but mentally I still have it. So I know what's there, I know what to see. So I know how to fight smarter, while some guys will just come in and duke it out. I mean, taking that hiatus really isn't a good thing because, like I said, I don't got the conditioning. Though I have a good poker face and showing it, but I don't have the conditioning like a guy ready would have, you know?
All right. But can I ask how old are you?
I'm 25 years old. I'm gonna be 26 next month, actually.
All right. So you're a young guy. And what is your height and weight? Like you seem like you're a monster. Like what, how big are you?
I'm 6'2". I'm 200 pounds. I have to trim a little for this fight coming up, but
Okay.
I ranged from 160 to 200 pounds for any fight. Like I was when I was hungry. That's really what I'd shred like a good 50 pounds just to make a fight.
That's great. So
Well,
what
fair
is
play.
your
That
fight?
flat top makes you look 18.
Yeah, it has a couple of years, but I might have to cut it to lose some weight, honestly. Oh, I'd
Now,
probably lose a whole pound with this thing off.
there you go. What is the weight class that you're going to fight at Fight Night Challenge? What weight class is it?
I believe it's oh, I forgot what's that. I think it's middleweight
Okay.
or cruiserweight, but it's the weight is 185.
Okay. So 185. That's not bad then. You'll easily hit that, right?
Yeah, I just gotta starve myself, hydrate a lot so I don't lose my endurance. But
Yeah.
it's not as bad as what I used to have to cut down to.
All right. And so what gym are you training out of now?
I train,
I know you're
well,
sorry, I know you were saying the karate gym is closed down, but where
yeah,
are you?
they cl no, you're right. They closed down, but there's an affiliate school under that I train at. And
Okay.
Scarface usually he lets me train at their gym in Neutral Corner.
Okay.
And for boxing, I train also in Jersey too. Like Tom's River, there's Checkmates Boxing. And then for BJJ and my kickboxing and Muay Thai, I go to Bill Scott's. They're in Point Pleasant.
All right, nice. That's crazy, man. You are all over the place. Obviously, when you go to these gyms, they all know who you are. Like the other guys that train there, like they know your fair play.
Yeah, they it's funny because they always bust my balls about it. It's like, oh, I know you, I saw you on YouTube. Like, yeah. But honestly, some guys, a lot of guys promote it, a lot of guys really don't see eye to eye with it, but like, they know I'm humble, so they're pretty cool with me about it. Because I don't go in there with a chip on my shoulder. Like, I'm telling you, my gym, there's guys that knock the crap out of me every time I go over there. And like I said, at the end of the day, they know who I am, and they know like, hey, this is why he got this far because he's training with us.
Yeah,
So.
yeah. No, like, so when we've talked to other fighters about how they're seen in their community and stuff like that. Like, what is the feeling of people? Like, do they treat you badly because you're in Street Beefs, or do they treat you better because you're in Street Beefs? I mean, what is the general demeanor?
I think it's an Eastern thing because everyone on the West Side or like the South, always, I always say the South, but like more of the West area, would tell me that their gyms strongly discourage it, and they actually disown people for it. Then my gym, they're always like, "Oh, that's great, keep it up, you know, put in a word for us, shout us out." I'm like, "Oh, really? Sweet."
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not even just me. Like a lot of people on the East Coast of the state of the country, say that, and a lot of guys on the West Coast get a lot of bad rep for it. But it all depends on where you, what gym you go to, honestly.
Right. And it's also about how you conduct yourself and the fact that you are a police officer and in the Army. I mean, like, you're an upstanding member of society, so you must bring an air of professionalism to it, right?
Well, yeah, that's there too. And at the same time, I mean, I try not to have a chip on my shoulder, but, like, you know, still got a reputation to hold that I can't, I really don't want to get creamed and be like, "Oh yeah, I beat up a cop," or "I beat up a soldier." You know, you don't want that image.
Yeah.
So I don't want to just go in there just throwing my title. I take the fight seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I'll amp it up if I have to, but if a guy is really like not at the level I'm at, I lay off a little.
Yeah, so. Yeah. No, you can see that. Like I've seen in some of your fights, like I do notice that. I'll see like if the guy's a little bit, like you said, like maybe not at your level, I see you go a lot more to the body. Or, you know, you'll almost like let him tire himself out a bit with like your excellent head movement, and then you'll slap him in the body a few times, right? Like I can see how you do that. So,
yeah, but fair play. You know what? I'm surprised you call yourself fair play, because when you're in the ring, it looks like child's play. Oh, you like, because I can honestly, when you're in there, you're some of the, like, you know, you're going at the one of the opponents, and you know, he throws a really good punch, and you go, you hail him up. "Hey, that was a good punch. Thanks." You know, right? And then it really looks like you're having fun in there. It's like it's like nothing for you, man. I don't know, Tim. If it was me and you, oh my gosh, like, "Oh my gosh, is the round over yet?"
That's- Yeah. All right. Fair play. I gotta ask, how come the suspenders? How did that come about?
Yeah, kind of goes along with my name too, because fighting is a. Early days, you're like talking about like the late 1800s when before boxing, it was bare knuckle first before boxing, right?
Yeah.
The strong men or the fighters would fight in formal wear, you know? Like guys would fight in their dress shirt, slacks, and suspenders if they had them. And that was boxing tradition because it was considered a gentleman's sport.
Okay.
So that's kind of where I also got the name fair play for, because, you know, it's a gentleman's sport. You're there to have fun. You're not always there to kill each other. And after they fought, yeah, you would shake hands, call it a day after that. Another reason why I got my name is because I was a huge comic buff, and I liked the hero Mr. Terrific.
Mr. Terrific.
And, you know,
yes.
Mr. Terrific. And his slogan was fair play on his uniform. So I was like, all right, that's nice. Actually a good freaking name. I like that. Oh, he's one of my favorite heroes, so that's why.
That's cool, man. Yeah, that's a deep cut, because not a lot of people know Mr. Terrific, but he's like been a major character for a long time in comics. That's cool, man. That's a good throwback to that guy. I do have to ask. Chris Barnett kind of mentioned it. He was kind of like joking about it. And if you don't want to answer this, you don't have to. But are you compensated well through Street Beefs? Like, they pay you?
The thing is, it's illegal to get paid because only pros can get paid in order to fight.
Okay.
And there's also this thing called pro amateur where you can get paid through some sort of way, but Street Beefs is considered amateur. Even though it's unsanctioned, it's considered amateur.
Okay.
So fighters can't get paid, but Street Beefs management is what got me my pro fight, and that fight I'm going to get paid in.
Nice.
Because now I'm considered a pro. I got my pro license, and I went through the steps to get inside a promotion so I can get paid.
Nice, nice, man. How did you get involved with Street Beefs? Like, how did you end up finding them, or how did they find you?
I always looked at Street Beefs when I was a kid in high school. I was like, "Oh, where did these guys freaking do this?" Like, I'm wondering, like, just in a fight like that is crazy. So I'd be watching them for years. Like I was watching Scarface since middle school, actually. Like when he was used to be a fighter. Well, he still kind of fights, but like, you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the end of the day, though, it's not really, I joined after I got out of the military and my school shut down. Well, I got out of training for the military and my school shut down. I was like, well, this is my one chance to jump into amateur fights, become an MMA fighter. Like, I thought that was my goal. So I was getting back into his training. I was trying to get my MMA fights, but they kept on getting canceled. And then the school shut down. And then that definitely put the nail in the coffin of any chance of me getting a fight in Jersey. So then I kept on looking at Street Beefs. And I'm like, you know what? I wonder how these guys freaking do it. So I type in, as simple as it sounds, right? I Googled or I YouTubed how to join Street Beefs. And Scarface surprisingly had a video on how to join Street Beefs.
All right, all right.
I'm like, no freaking way. It can't be this freaking easy. So I went on their Facebook group, and I joined them. I was like, well, they probably get a lot of guys. I'm probably not going to accept it. They accepted me in like an hour. So I was like, oh, sweet. I was like, wow. All right, it's probably going to take me a while to get a fight. So I looked up nearby events. I was like, oh, yeah, just type in your name and show up. I'm like, no fucking way. So then I did that. And then I showed up at they sent me a day prior, they sent me an address, like, oh, they're freaking serious. So then I drive down, and I got in my first fight. And I was like, my first fight was against a guy named Dacky. He was a good wrestler, too, but sadly the fight got stopped because of blood. But either way, that was probably one of my closest MMA fights I've had as a beginner when I was in the yard.
And you fought many, many times. Like, is it last year you fought 23 times?
Yeah, I was really active that year.
Say that again?
No, I was really active that year because I don't know. I wanted to get a name out for myself. I was thinking like, hey, I mean, especially after I saw Memnon and Reckless Rico get signed into XFC.
Okay.
I was like, you know what? Maybe this is my chance. Maybe I can get some publicity.
Yeah.
And I started fighting a lot, and I fought like every month. Every time one popped up, I was like, I'll be there. I'll be there. There's one in California, no problem. Flew over there. Oh, there's one in North Carolina, no problem. Flew over there. And slowly 100,000 views became half a million views and then to 1 million views. I was like, wow. So Scarface started recognizing me, and he put me under the pro management.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. I'm so happy for you that this worked out and everything. I do have one. We got a bunch of fan questions. It's pretty much all the questions I've been asking you, but there's one we got that's an audio question. So I'm going to play this question for you. This is from our friend of the podcast, Matt Padilla. He's a MMA fighter out of Team Quest with Dan Henderson. He has a question. Yeah, he's got a question for you. So I'm going to play this, and hopefully you can hear this.
Hey, Fair Play. I've never accepted an unsanctioned fight offer, but this doesn't mean I look down on anyone who takes those fights or even the shows themselves. I just worry about the fact that there's usually no blood testing or coverage for injuries. What kind of protocol does Street Beefs have on fighters that get injured and start bleeding mid-fight? Thanks.
Oh, well, that's a personal question. And okay. I don't know the exact answer, but I'm going to go by how I saw it.
Yeah.
So every time I was there and guys get hurt, right?
Mm.
Like since I've been there, like they've been pretty good. There hasn't been any crazy injuries. But when people do bleed, they instantly stop the fight and call it.
Yeah.
They call the fight as a draw in the yard, and they basically – Scarface actually compensates out of pocket for medical bills.
Okay.
At the end of the day, no one's like, hey, you got a concussion, you got knocked out, have a safe drive home. No, he makes sure guys are good. He actually makes sure the guy goes to the hospital or whatever, make sure he's okay before he ends up calling it a day for the night. And when he's not there, his staff makes sure the same thing. So even they never let it get to the point to where you're in a bloodbath, but like if a guy's bleeding, they're like, all right, we'll clock it up, but if it bleeds again, we're gonna call it. Then they keep fighting, guy bleeds again, then they call a fight. But hey, maybe he'll get lucky and he knocks the guy out before his cut gets worse. But he gives the guys a chance. He gives them a chance to get that win. You know what I'm saying? But like we're not just like it's not as barbaric as people seem yet. Scarface wants that background. He wants that feel for the audience as a street fight. But he doesn't care about the fighters. Like, he's not going to let a guy beat the living crap out of himself for free. You know, amateur will do that. Like, when I was fighting amateur, I went through so much hoops just to get my amateur license and still had to pay out of pocket for medical bills. And still, I paid like $2,000 just to get my amateur's license.
Yeah.
Throughout all the physicals and all the blood work and all that, you pay a lot of money, especially if you don't have insurance at the time. And then I freaking, I think it was my second, it might have been my second or my third amateur fight. Yeah, it was my third one. Got knocked out by this champ. He's a pro now. He's crazy. Jimmy Drago. But he's a pro now. He was a champion. He knocked me out with a spinning back fist. I got knocked out. I still had to pay like $600 in medical bills, even though technically the commission was supposed to cover my medical bills.
Right, right. So,
you get what I'm saying? Like, even though, amateur is backed by someone, they still don't treat you the way that the yard does.
Yeah. That's amazing, man. I'm so happy to hear because you're right. When you go on YouTube and you're scrolling and you're looking at street beefs, like you see the look and the image of it, you're like, holy crap, what is this? But then when you start to watch, it, you're like, wait, this is a legit organization. And these fighters, like we said, are very respectful and they're professional. And these guys aren't just like throwing haymakers. They're like, they're professionals, you know? So it's crazy to like hear the story from you and see that this is really what it's all about. And that there's that level of respect from the organization and the fighters as well. So that's great, man.
So Fair Play, actually, so street beefs, it's like a massive operation. Like behind the scenes, there's a whole team that's looking out after the whole fighters, eh?
Oh yeah, it's really crazy too to think of it, because you look at 14 years ago, it was just Scarface. Now he has a branch basically at every corner of the state, of the country.
Oh wow!
Like we have the OG yard, now we have a new Texas yard, and we have a West Coast yard. Now all he needs is like a North Dakota yard. You know what I'm saying? Because it's easy. Like, it's easy for you. Like now people can't say like, oh, well, I don't live in Virginia. Well, you can take a 4 or 5 hour drive to California now or Texas. Like, I live in Jersey. It's 4 hours from me, but I'd rather drive 4 hours and fly to California.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh. Yeah, no, that's amazing. All right, Fair Play. We won't keep you long. I do want to ask you, what's next for you? So you've got this fight January 29th. It's your first pro MMA fight, which we are all super excited about. We'll share the links to anything that we can. We'll keep our fans and viewers and listeners informed about you, man. But what's next after that? Like, where does your career go now? What are you looking to do?
Well, the biggest test is your first pro debut. I don't care what anyone says. Yeah, you can be a journeyman in the sport, have half as many wins as you did losses, but your first pro bout is what basically defines how your career is going to go.
Hmm.
I'm not saying win or lose, but your performance. So I'm fighting a Kyle Wright, Kyle the Best Wright. He's a pretty seasoned MMA fighter. He's a pro MMA fighter with 4 fights under his belt. And here I am. I'm still technically an amateur fighting a pro fighter. So this fight's going to be the make or break.
Yeah.
Like, I promise my fans the best, but all I can do is hope. Well, not hope, but train hard, too. But if I can enjoy a couple victories, then I might get a fight in Jersey. I'm going to try to do some boxing at the same time. Like, I'm not just going to keep myself with MMA. I'm going to do everything I can. I'm not going to be one-dimensional.
Nice, nice. Well, Fair Play, like, this has been an honor to talk to you, man. And I do hope that we can talk to you again in the future, like, as your career continues to progress. Like I said, we'll put all your links in the show notes so people can find you and, you know, follow your journey. Man, if you don't know Fair Play, you got to go check him out on YouTube. It's just insanity. And Fair Play, before we let you go, is there anything that you wanted to say or anybody that you wanted to shout out?
Yes, shout out to everyone that's supporting me. Like, if I say the names, I'll be here until tomorrow at the same time. So shout out for everyone supporting me, my fans, family, friends, close friends. It means a lot. You guys, thanks for having me on. I mean, it means a lot too. Y'all do some good work. Y'all got some good, notable people on. I mean, and you do your homework. Y'all do your homework. Not a lot of podcasts do that, and that means a lot. Like, guys like to come on knowing that you already know about them. It makes them feel more comfortable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, thank you, man. We tried. It's hard to find information about you, though, in all reality. Like, it is hard. You're a little bit of a mysterious guy.
Fair play. You're like Jason Bourne, man. Like, it's just so hard to find anything about you.
Yeah.
But well, hopefully it'll be a lot easier in the next year or two. So we'll see.
That's right, man. The more that you're doing all these things, man, then the more organizations are going to look out. They're going to find you, right? You'll have bigger fights, more high profile fights. More and more people are going to get to know you. Fair play. This was such a pleasure, man. I wish you all the best. We will, like I said, we will follow your journey forever, man. All the best. I can't believe you're a police officer too. That is the coolest crap. I never knew that. So thank you for your service in the Army. Thank you for your service as a police officer and for everything you do, man. You're a great dude. All the best to you. And thank you for coming on.
Thanks a lot for your part.
It means a lot, guys. Y'all keep on doing great things too.
We will.
Actually, just one last question before you go. What are you going to do with this? Like, it's going to be your first fight. What are you going to do with the suspenders? Are you going to retire it? How's it? Are you going to bring it along?
The suspenders will be semi-retired. I will wear them. I will wear the suspenders for my ring walk-ins.
Nice.
And my pre conferences and post conferences. But nice. Other than that, they can't be in the ring anymore, sadly. But no, I will still wear them to carry on the tradition.
Can I tell you? Okay, I'll tell you one quick thing, Fair Play. It's so funny. In one of the videos where you're fighting, one of your suspenders kind of snaps off at one point, and you hear a fan go, "Oh no, the suspender!" The fan was very disappointed.
Yeah, well, they would say it too, like, "Oh, he's about to get serious," because every round I amp it up a little. So first round, like a little trial round. Second round, kick up this pace, and then third round, I go pretty much all out. So
yeah, man.
People get always psyched when they see the suspenders come off.
Yeah. We're very excited, Fair Play. All the best to you, man. Thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate this so much. Thank you.
Hey, thank you guys. Y'all be safe in the meantime too.
We will, buddy.
Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye. Oh man, what a great guy. A police officer. I had no idea. Like, that's crazy.
Well, yeah. Like, I mean, he keeps it on the down low. You know what?
Yeah,
actually. Yeah. Tim, you know what he didn't mention is that, you know what, Street Beefs doesn't have a chapter up here in Toronto, so might be something that we need to look at. Fight Insight Street Beefs Toronto.
Oh, the Fight Insight chapter? Yeah, I like that. We could do that. Of course, we are still on freaking lockdown here in Toronto. To those that are listening or watching us from outside of Toronto or Ontario, we are still on freaking 100% lockdown, no gym, no nothing. Like, it is terrible here. Speaking of that, this is a perfect segue, Prince. Next week's guest. So if you're here because of Fair Play, thank you for following us. You know, subscribe on YouTube, follow us on Instagram. Next week's guest is a Canadian MMA fighter. He's based out of Hamilton, Ontario. He has a gym down there. I believe it's called Aegis MMA. He is the number 8th ranked bantamweight in Bellator. He is Josh the Gentleman Hill. This is going to be a great interview. Yep. This guy is a killer. His last fight was a brutal, brutal knockout. He is a great guy. He kind of got a little bit, how do you say, snubbed. He's not in the Bellator Bantamweight Grand Prix. He's ranked number 8, so they took the top 7 plus the champion. He is the official alternate, so the minute someone is out, he's in. We know the way these Grand Prix work. There's always an alternate needed, so he's going to be in the Grand Prix. So we'll talk to him about that, but we're also going to talk to him about his gym and what's going on in Canada and how he's seeing things with the pandemic, with his ability to train, with his ability to run his gym. So very excited for next week. If you, man, that's going to be a good interview, Prince.
Yeah, it's this guy sounds like a really smart guy, and he knows what he's talking about. And smart I think guy. It's going to be a very interesting episode. So let's see how this.
Smart, he's a smart guy. He's a handsome guy. geez Louise, the guy is quite the good looking guy. He's a gentleman by way of his nickname. And yeah, we were going to have a lot to talk to him about, man. But anyways, thank you to Fairplay though. Prince, the fact that Street Beefs is run so professionally and so well. And to our friend Tommy, he asked a fan question, which I didn't get to. But Tommy was asking, how do I get into Street Beefs? Fairplay told you, man. Just go on the website and friggin' sign up. So Tommy, when you go get that fight, let us know.
Man, it's easier to sign up for Street Beefs, man. It's like it than trying to cancel your Facebook membership. Like, goodness sakes, like you have to go to like different tabs just to shut it down.
Yeah, Prince. Okay, so we've got our next week's guest coming on, Josh the Gentleman Hill. We're excited for that. People always know to check out middaysquares.com. Use code FIGHTINSIGHT15, guys. You're already 2 weeks into the new year. You're already putting on weight, right? Get Midday Squares. I swear to God, I'm eating it. I've been picking it back up and eating, and I actually ordered more just last week because my diet's going to hell. And with the gym shut down, I'm getting bad, Prince. So
Well, guys, you know, get Fight Inside 15. You guys gotta take it. It's really good. Peanut butter is my fave. Timmy, what's your favorite then?
I like the almond one, I think. The almond crunch is my favorite. It's got that little bit of saltiness. Prince, people like to hear about us. You won a weight loss challenge. Okay. Tell the people your successful weight loss challenge, man.
Oh, man. So, guys, listen. So, I can't believe I'm going to be sharing this, but my cousins are all going to kill me, man.
Like, yeah, you crushed them.
Listen, so I ended up going into, so my cousins, we had a weight loss challenge and we set it for September, just to, whoever drops the most weight, that's basically the deal. And so in September, no one was doing anything and everyone's like, oh my gosh, can we extend it up until December? Yeah. And so, you know, so everybody's like, no one's actually seen each other in a while. So everyone's wondering how everyone's doing.
Cause we're in fucking lockdown. Yeah.
That's it. And come December, we all roll in. Half my cousins that were in this challenge already already backed out. Like, no, I'm done. Like, I'm not going in. Like, I'm backing out. I'm giving up. And it was me and another cousin, and I started training like 3 or 4 weeks just before it was about to the deadline, and I took it, man. 600 bucks, baby. Yeah. Oh my
God. Beautiful. Congratulations, Prince, on that stunning victory. Well done. Can you say, I mean, I don't want to ask your weight now, but how much weight did you lose? What was your number?
I dropped 14 pounds, man.
Oh, not bad. That's pretty good, man. Congrats.
Yeah, and it's like, and now right now I'm back into the routine of, I know we're all locked down, but I've got this routine I'm trying right now. I'll see how much I drop again. And trust me, once I start developing abs, I might not need friends anymore.
No, for sure. Prince, I'm going to do a perfect segue again. We're talking about your weight loss journey. Here's someone who seems to have put on a little bit of weight, perhaps going into a higher weight class, Prince. Something's different. Something's different about Karolina. We are showing a picture of Karolina Kowalczewicz, who posted on her Instagram today, looking a little different, Prince. Comment, thoughts?
Maybe
moving up to bantamweight.
Yep, bantamweight. She's gotten some stuff done.
Yeah.
Things have been, yep. So
I just wanted to put you on the hot seat for that one, Prince.
It's cooking. I smell something,
it's an awkward one, but that showed up on Instagram today, so I thought I'd put it up. Prince, how about, let's talk some women's rights.
Yeah.
This is an interesting thing, man. So, okay, so we're going to talk. Okay, so we talked about, here's my Karolina moving to bantamweight. No, we're done that. So let's talk about Panda versus Cupcake. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And what I'm talking about here is Misha Tate was talking on, interview or something, and someone posted something saying, oh, would you do an OnlyFans page? Mm-hmm. And she replied something along the lines of, Well, I didn't say I'm desperate, which puts some connotation around, oh, women that have an OnlyFans page are desperate. Okay. So, our friend of the podcast, former guest, Julia Avila, she is asked about it and she responds in this way. So, I'm going to show on screen, but I'll read it as well. She says, this is aggravating. Yes, women have an OnlyFans, and what of it? Maybe they want attention. Maybe they want an extra dollar. Maybe they just want to celebrate their womanhood and how fucking gorgeous they are. It's not the place to judge or tear another woman down. Fix your crown, queen, before casting stones on another, because, honey, none of us are without fault, and it's a hard fucking world without having to tear one another down. So she's sticking up. Obviously, for women, you know, hey, it's your choice. You do whatever you want. I don't know that Misha Tate was saying it with the intent to like go after people, but of course, that's what happens in today's world. You say one thing and things get taken out of context. Prince, you subscribe to a lot of OnlyFans pages. What is your what is your thought on I don't even know where to go with this, but I just thought it was interesting. What is your general thought on that? Like,
Well, you know what?
you
I
agree with
mean,
Julia? You don't agree with
well,
Julia?
yeah, that's the thing. I mean, you can't pass judgment, right? And it's funny because every time you hear OnlyFans, you automatically think that, you know, it's like an X-rated site where you're posting some of your half-naked pictures, right?
Not
And
just pictures, videos
videos
and stuff.
and everything, right? And so and sometimes these fan videos, I mean, some of the accounts, they don't have any of that. Sometimes it's just, you know, you're just following their journey. Like, I mean, Trap Gambino, he had an OnlyFans and it was just to, you know, track his progress and things like that, right? So I guess OnlyFans automatically has this like this image around it now. Everyone thinks this is what it's all about, but really it's not, right? So everyone has their own assumptions. Everyone has their own perspective, right? And so, I mean, Cupcake said it one way, and then Julia, you know, that's how she perceives it, and then step forward. So, you know what? Again, it's open to interpretation. That's what I think. That's the way we. That's why I, you know, is my topic on this whole thing. Again, fight insight. We're Switzerland in every type of topic. So, I mean, what do you think, Tim?
It's tough, man. You know, I'm a huge Misha Tate fan, so that's one thing. But I will say it's kind of tough. It's a tough thing. I remember when Paige Van Zandt first started. I think she was one of the first people that really went on to that hard, pun intended. And I remember thinking, I don't know if I'm too keen on it because I think, you know, if you're a woman looking for empowerment and being a fighter and all that, and you want to kind of put yourself out there, is that now the realm you want to go? Is this a reflection of pay, you know, in UFC and stuff? Are you not getting paid enough? Is that why you're doing this? Would you be doing that if you were making more money? I don't know, man. We're two dudes sitting here arguing this and whether or not it's right for them to do it. So I don't know. I can understand Misha's point of view, and I can understand that that may be the opinion that people have of it, which is tough, which means, you know, like you said, like everyone thinks probably OnlyFans, it's always going to be sex stuff on there, but it's not. Like, I mean, I don't know, but you must know. So,
Guys, I don't have, I'm not subscribed at all. Okay, guys,
going
like,
to edit all this out. I'm going to edit
I'm
all your denials. I'm editing out. So I think it's hard. I think there's a stigma probably applied to it, and I think probably Misha Tate's comment was taken out of context a little bit. But what I will say, Prince, this sets up Julia Avila versus Misha Tate down the road, right?
Yes,
I
that
think
would be.
that's a fight. Now, the problem is Misha Tate is going down to flyweight now. Her next fight has been announced as being at flyweight, so who knows if she'll go up to bantamweight again, but this does set up Julia while she's recovering from her surgery and stuff like that. This does put Julia in the news, gets a little bit of buzz going, and we'll see where that goes. So I don't know, just an interesting topic. If you don't know about it, go research it, go look into it, and let us know in the chat, you know, or message us and talk to us and what do you have to say about it, right?
Well, Tim, I think, you know what, the only way this thing can get clarified is if Misha comes on Fight Insight Podcast and, you know, and asks and answers some of the hard questions, right? So Misha, you know.
How many times do we have to ask? I mean, come on, Misha, right?
I think we sent over like a pigeon.
So we did, you know, just to delay, just to lengthen this out a little bit, we did do something on our Instagram story and we said, you know, what do you think about it? A, it does seem desperate. That was 20% of the votes. It's their life, more power to them. That was 60% of the vote. And then we had 10% of the vote for either way, it's a sign fighters aren't paid enough. And 10%, I love it, I subscribe to them. So, you know, people were kind of all over, but generally they sided with Julia on that, saying, hey man, it's their life, let them do whatever they want, right? And like you said, I think there are probably a lot of people. I know I've listened to some interviews with some fighters that have an OnlyFans that there is like zero nudity. Like it's nothing about that. It's just if people want to follow my journey, like you said, kind of like a Trap Gambino, if you want to follow my journey and give you like private access to my life, then there's a small fee attached to it. And there you go. So, yeah.
That's it. And if Tim, if Tim ever wanted to open up an OnlyFans account, it'd probably be him sitting with a bow tie overlooking the bluffs.
No, that's it would be all sex. So next thing we will talk about is let's talk a little bit about the Jake Paul stuff. I know we keep trying to talk about it every week. So Jake Paul, he is the fighter of the year for 2021, obviously.
Yes.
You know, let's go to one thing that he did, because obviously we always get into so many things, but let's get into one thing where, you know, he went after Dana and said, here's all the stuff, here's all these stipulations. I want you to pay fighters more. I want you to do this, whatever. Here was one of Dana's reply comments.
What you and the Warlock should be focused on is your business. You're tanking. You can't sell pay-per-views.
Right? So Dana goes hard and just bashes him. The pay-per-view with Woodley apparently only sold 65,000 pay-per-views. Okay? That's not a lot of pay-per-views.
Yep.
I have no idea how they pay these people the money they do when that's all they make, right? Like, how do you make all this thing? What do you think about the bad... Let's just stick to this. What do you think about the bad pay-per-view sales? What does that mean for Jake Paul? What does that mean for his business? What does that mean for everything? What bad pay-per-view sales? What do you think?
Well, okay, let's just be honest here. Like a lot of the people that watch these fights illegally stream it. They won't pay for the full thing. They know they're just in it for that one fight at the very end. And that's the thing. I mean, a big chunk of these fights are all publicity stunt, right? I mean, it's just getting one fighter, you know, Jake Paul against a big name and putting them in together, right? Yeah. And honestly, it's what my thoughts around it with the poor sales. I don't know how they're going to try and get some more people to come in and actually, you know, watch the fight. I mean, I guarantee you they're going to try and throw in an MMA fight between Jake Paul and somebody in the UFC. And you've already seen him throwing swing kicks videos already.
Yo, good kicks.
I'm surprised. Like
so we're talking, okay, so for anybody that doesn't know, there was a video that got released, I think, a couple of days ago. And it's Jake Paul throwing leg kicks onto some pads. The guy's holding pads. Solid form, solid strength. And what that wasn't his first time, so dude is training.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
So you know what? I mean, I know we also look at these videos and we try to, you know, we question how real it is.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a lot harder to pull that stunt in an MMA fight. So this might, I don't know. This might, you might see a little bit of you know, increase in viewership, people buying the pay-per-view if they actually see a legit MMA fight. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Like it's going to be really hard to fake you know, a tap. What do you think, Tim? Like it's going to be hard.
I think you can easily fake an MMA fight.
Oh, okay.
Because I think you could just grapple. Like you could literally go for like a 15-minute hug, and what would the fans do, right? Like, already he was hugging Woodley for friggin' 7 rounds up until the quote-unquote knockout. So, I mean, my worry would be that if he goes into an MMA fight and it's rigged or he gets nervous, he just hugs the guy for 15 minutes, right? Like, that could happen. But you're right. I don't know. I don't think he'll ever do an MMA fight because I don't think anybody will pay him the money that he would want to get into the ring for that. So I think he's going to stick to boxing where potentially the money is. But again, I don't know how he makes $1 million off of 65,000 pay-per-views.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
Right? I have no idea.
I don't know. I haven't seen how the ring looks like in terms of sponsorship, like who's actually sponsoring this thing, because it could also come from that.
No, I know, but the next pay-per-view Jake Paul is going to have, you're going to go to sponsors and say, hey, I want you to pay me millions of dollars to put your logo on this ring. By the way, my last pay-per-view sold 65,000. Yeah. They'll be like, dude, I'm not... That's nothing to me. I could put out an Instagram reel and hit 65,000. You know? Not us, but someone. Okay.
Yep.
What about Jake Paul saying to Dana, and this is like the greatest feud, you know, this is like Stone Cold Steve Austin and Vince McMahon kind of feud. Ooh, right?
Good reference. So, man.
What about Jake Paul saying, hey, you can, or was it Dana saying you can, oh yeah, it was Dana saying, hey, you can test me for cocaine anytime.
Yeah.
Because you keep saying I use cocaine. You can test me for cocaine anytime for 2 years or something like that if you'll allow me to test you for steroids. What do you think about that? So, yeah, Dana White says to Jake Paul, hey, you idiot, you want to say I'm always on cocaine? I'll let you test me for cocaine for I don't know what purpose, just bragging rights, I guess. And then I'll be able to test you for...
performance-enhancing drug.
For steroids or, whatever. Yeah. So what do you think about that?
You know what? I mean, will Jake Paul actually go through with it? You think Jake Paul will actually say, hey, I want to get tested? Like, let me check.
I have my thoughts. I'm going to save it till after you say.
Okay. Well, I mean, listen.
Whatever. If he does or not. I'm just saying, what do you think about the challenge?
Like, I'm actually interested just to see what pops up to JJ on Jake's end. Like, I mean, he is looking kind of tanked, and in his off season, he's looking a lot smaller, but come fight time, it's like, you know, all swole, right? And it's, I think it'd be something cool to watch, but I really doubt to see what the results are, right? How are they actually going to show this? So they're actually going to go online and okay, here's pay-per-view, here you go guys, here's the list of drugs that I've tested positive for. And Dana, cocaine, no, negative.
All right, here's my thing. What do I care whether Dana's on cocaine? Like, even if he is on cocaine, which I don't know, who cares? I don't care that he's on cocaine. What does that matter to me? And here's the other thing, what do I care if Jake Paul's on steroids? I was getting into a bunch of fights on Instagram, like I do, because I said, who the hell cares if Jake's on steroids? He might be, and even if he's on steroids, it might not necessarily be like performance enhancing. It might be just so that he looks better. Like, he might just do it so he looks better. Then people get after me, Prince, and they're like, well, why would you do that? I'm like, have you seen WWE before? Like, do you think like friggin' Ryan Reynolds and The Rock as movie stars aren't doing like steroids? Like, apologies if you don't think so, but probably, like, why wouldn't they be doing something to like get their bodies looking better and whatever, you know? And what do I care if Jake Paul's doing even performance enhancing drugs to fight his fake boxing fights, or even if it's real boxing fights? There's no USADA in his thing, so it's not like he's like cheating per se. Like, how do I know Woodley wasn't doing drugs? Like, I don't know, what do we care? So that just seems like a dumb thing. It's almost like if you feel like, if you get caught for the cocaine or the steroids, that you're going to feel like embarrassed. But really, I almost wish Dana would just come out and go, yeah, I do cocaine. Who cares?
But aren't you like a little bit interested?
No, zero.
No?
Zero. That I care about what? That I care about that Jake Paul does steroids? Yeah, I hope he does steroids. He better look good. If I'm going to pay for his pay-per-view, he better like look like he's in shape. And he better, you know, use whatever steroids you need to so that you can fight 10 rounds. Because if, like, or whatever, right? Like, if he didn't take steroids and he gasses out after one, I'd be like, crap, man, get some steroids in you. I don't know. Like, I don't care. Like, he's not going to be the champion of the world ever. So what is it's his fights don't make any relevance in history, you know? I don't know.
Well, he's 2022's 2021's Fighter of the Year. So
yeah, man, as named by us, and hell, I'll name him 2022 Fighter of the Year already. This guy's like money in the bank. All right, next thing, Prince, let's talk about it. Finally.
Yes, UFC, we're back on, baby.
Qatar versus Chikadze. Prince, this is the first UFC fight now in what, 4 weeks or whatever it is?
Yeah, 4 weeks. Been out of there.
So we did say to the fans, we went to Instagram and we said, hey, look, 4 weeks, we've had nothing. This is your first week where you finally get to watch fights. On today, we're recording, it's Wednesday. Invicta FC is free on YouTube. Our friend of the podcast, Ramona Pasquale, she is fighting in the co-main event. Invicta FC is on today. ONE FC has an event on Friday, which again is on YouTube if you're in Canada. And then UFC has theirs on Saturday. Went to the fans. We said, what are you going to watch first? Are you watching Invicta, ONE FC, UFC? 6% said nothing. I'm very busy. I don't know who these people are, Prince, that would be on our Instagram saying that. 6% said ONE FC, which is terribly low. I can't believe that. 11% said Invicta, which I'm pretty proud of. I'm happy for that. Mm-hmm. 77% said UFC. So there we go. So everybody cares about UFC.
UFC, yeah, I'm definitely because friends of a podcast, Ramona, we're hoping she takes it, so definitely going to be watching that. I mean, that 100%. UFC event, I mean, at least it's good. It's been kind of, you know, kind of dry last couple of weekends, not knowing what, you know, I've been watching a lot of the Fight Pass, just watching some fights, and that's it.
Yep. All right, so Prince, Giga Chikadze versus Calvin Kattar. This is a... In general, it's a pretty slow card, Prince. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm surprised that this is your first card back after 4 weeks. There's not a lot of big name stars on this thing.
Yep.
Due to time, I'm going to skip to the main event.
Yes.
Calvin Kattar, 22-5, taking on Giga Chikadze. Calvin Kattar, of course, last fought 1 year ago against Max Holloway when he took a legendary beating, like really bad beating. Giga Chikadze, 14-2. This dude is a superstar in the making.
Yep.
He fought, what was his last fight? Do you know offhand? So he's on a 9 fight win streak. 3 performance of the nights in a row against Edson Barboza, TKO. Cub Swanson, TKO. Jamie Simmons, TKO.
Yep.
This guy's on a tear.
Tear.
Your prediction.
Oh my gosh. Like, it's clear. Giga's taking this bad boy. And on, you know, like, just to even look at his fight record, the fact that he knocked out Barboza via my punch hero. At third round, that's like your hero. That's scary. That's nuts. And it's not an easy feat. And I got my money on Giga.
I don't remember if Barboza was bald on that fight. So that may have been a problem. But I think Giga takes this all day. I don't think this is going to be... I think this is a weird fight for Calvin Kattar to take. I think he's like, he's a very game fighter. And man, he's going into the lions on this.
Yeah.
But I do worry. If you watched our podcast with Dr. Jimmy, we had the one about the concussion protocols.
Yep.
God knows how long Calvin Kattar was out, like, due to the concussion protocol, right? He's probably would have been out for at least 6 months, if not longer. who knows, before he'd even be have been allowed to spar. So to then go in against a striking heavy opponent like Giga, that's a tough one. I got Giga all day. I think it's going to be a stoppage. I'm going to say first round stoppage by TKO.
First round, it's going to be a head kick.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough one, man. I don't like it for Calvin, but I do wish him all the best. I love him. The guy's an amazing fighter, but I just think this is a crazy fight. So.
Like, oh my gosh, like David and Goliath. Like
it, it kind of is, man. Prince, friends of the podcast update. Before we go, we said Ramona Pascual is fighting in like, what time is it now? It's almost six. So in a couple of hours, she will be fighting. Of course, when this podcast gets released, she'll have fought last night. Check on our Instagram story. We'll be posting about her celebration and victory. We will do that. Bam Bam Barbarena. Have we announced this on the podcast? I don't know that we
No, not yet, because it wasn't official.
It wasn't official. Then get this. Someone leaked it.
Oh, Mike.
It wasn't us. Someone leaked it, but he is fighting Matt the Immortal Brown. That fight is back on March 26th in Columbus, Ohio. So set that day aside, Prince. If our lockdown is over, I want you to come to my house and we'll watch it together. We'll get some slice of fire pizza and we will watch it. Bam Bam versus the Immortal, March 26th in Columbus, Ohio. We reached out to him. Of course, he's going to come on the podcast before that fight. But also, he's very happy because that Ohio is only like 4 or 5 hours away from his house, which means his family can come. There's going to be a crowd and all that. And so his family will be with him. So that is amazing. Very happy for Bam Bam. On the flip side to that, some sad news. Jeon Kim, our good friend from South Korea, a former guest of the podcast, she was supposed to fight a very high profile fight against Pollyanna Botello on January 22nd. I believe Pollyanna is out due to COVID. So I do not know what's happening. I really hope that they find Jeon Kim a replacement fight. She's coming off the very crappy split decision loss. Fight of the night, mind you, so she got the bonus, but she's coming off that. I know she wants to, you know, get some revenge on that loss. And so hopefully she'll get a fight January 22nd. But so if you're keeping track on our friends, that is the update for those guys.
Wow. And you know what? And don't act like I don't see you and Bam chatting away at each other.
We are best friends. Best friends. You know,
the person that leaked this news was me, you bastard.
We already tried to investigate if it was you, Prince. We know it was not. So you're a good guy. We know that. Prince, what else do we got to say? I did want to give a shout out to Noon. This is what I'm drinking all podcast, mind you. It's in my little bottle here. But my Noon, which is these guys you can get at stores, they were very kind enough to give us some stuff. So these are those things that you throw in. They're like little like Alka-Seltzers almost. But yeah, these things are amazing. So thank you to Noon. We will put their... link up in the show notes. Prince, anything you want to say before we go?
Follow us, subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram, and listen to us on Spotify.
Yeah.
It's an amazing podcast. We've got great people coming through. It's going to be great guests.
If you've made it this far.
Oh, yeah. Listen, we're heading close to our 1 year anniversary, Tim.
We got to do something special. Got to think about something special. If anybody knows Misha Tate, hurry up.
God dang it.
Damn it.
Just come to the show, man. Like,
I want to talk to you about the Aspen Lad stuff. I want to talk to you about this OnlyFans stuff. My God. Prince, I guess that's it, buddy. So this is episode 48. We are friggin' 4 episodes away. We do have guests lined up we may even have guests lined up until our new year or our 1 year anniversary. So we'll have to figure that out. Next week, Josh the Gentleman Hill, Bellator fighter, our first ever Bellator fighter, right?
Yeah. And what are the chances? I think, remember we were talking about this and we're like, what are the chances? Like, this guy's actually a Bellator fighter. Like, we were.
Right? Yeah. Okay. So, we're at like an hour now. Anyways, the first time we find him, it's because he's just a gym owner in Hamilton. We had no idea that it was Josh the Gentleman Hill. I just think I saw his gym and I was like, oh, here's a gym in Hamilton. They're going through some shit because of the pandemic. Reaching out to them, just saying, hey, guys, stay strong, you know? Next thing I know, the guy that responds is like, yeah, I'm Josh Hill. I'm like, what the hell, man? So ever since then, we've had like a little bit of a contact with him. And so we're extremely happy to talk to him next week, man.
Yeah, I think
I hope it gets crazy.
It's, I think when you sent me the name, I Googled the name and I'm like, wait, is this the same guy?
Yeah.
What? Yeah.
And his uncle was a wrestler back in the day. And I think his uncle's name was The Gentleman. And I think that's where he got his nickname. So we'll see about that.
Oh, wow. So we're going to get some more information on that. Josh is going to come through, talk some COVID. It's going to be a fun episode.
Have a good one, buddy. We're all good. All right, man. See you later, buddy. We will talk next week.